This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Rookie roulette time. Cam Whitmore. Ended up as number 5 on our final big board. Went 20th overall to the Houston Rockets. He was by far the biggest surprise on draft night, the biggest faller. And we kind of had heard some rumblings about that going into draft night, but still him falling all the way to 20 was shocking. On the season, averaged 12.3 points, 0.7 assists, 3.8 rebounds, one turnover, shooting splits of 45.4, 35.9, and 67.9. Where do you want to start with Mr. Whitmore?
I'm pumped. I'm always proud. It's always fun to hear where we had him last year. I know we had a lot of fans at No Ceilings of Whitmore. I was in that crowd. I still buy the upside. I still buy the very raw upside. And I honestly thought this was a really good rookie year for him.
Yeah.
Because he went to the G League, was doing some crazy stuff down there. I watched some of his games down there and I was like, this is perfect. Just let him run wild. Let him get cooking with the outside shot. We all said like, hey, he had high flying, powerful maniac who can attack the basket with bad intentions, but we need the outside shot to develop. We need the rest of the stuff to slowly start to come together. And I thought the G League was perfect for a guy like Whitmore. And then, you know, Houston eventually gave him some run. And he had a 14-game stretch where he averaged 15 a game with 4.7 rebounds on 46, 40, 68. So for a player that young, Metcalf, I just think this is a great start. You know, I always, people like to say like him and Jaylen Brown were comparisons, and I don't know if I'm there, but like Jaylen Brown was averaged like 4 a game his mm-hmm. rookie year and took a while to find his groove. And I think he's in a good spot where we're going to see the work ethic. We're going to see what type of player he's ready to become next year. But I think this was a very good rookie season for someone that shouldn't have fallen as low as he did. But
yeah,
that was why intel's so important, because we heard that and we're like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, and I don't think his... It obviously could have gone better. It can always go better. But I think this was a really great rookie season for him. And I was lucky enough to see him in person a couple times. We saw him in Portland. I saw him against the Timberwolves a couple times. And he didn't have outstanding performances, but I liked kind of the process of how he played. The confidence was on full display all season long. One of the greenest lights in the league. The passing concerns from Villanova kind of carried over as
right.
the raw assist numbers are under 1 a game, but assist rate of 5.6%, ranked in the 12th percentile. His assist to usage ratio was 0.24, which was the 0 percentile. So he's a shooter. But when you're that athletic, and if he ends up shooting, like I think he eventually will, I think the Rockets found a really fun, athletic, versatile off-ball scorer. And that's the role that he was put into this year of rebound, get out in transition, use your athleticism, and be a play finisher. They have some really fun creators and playmakers with Amen Thompson, Şengün, Fred VanVleet, and Whitmore just needed to be able to play off of them and be that play finisher, which for most of the season, he really was. When we look at his shooting, 38% on above the break threes, 76th percentile. That's really good, especially for a rookie. And those were about 35% of his shots. So it wasn't just low volume. The bulk of a high percentage of his shot overall shot attempts came from above the break threes. The at the rim stuff was kind of shockingly low, 60% at the rim, 26th percentile, but 87th percentile spotting up, 96th percentile shooting off the catch when left open. I think he's going to be a real shooter. And if he ever, you know, develops any sort of passing or whatever, I'm not sure he needs to, but he's looking like a really fun, just off ball piece for that team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think you put it at the end. Everyone wants to fascinate about his playmaking or his assist numbers. I don't think that's what he's going to have to be with this team. They have the playmakers. They have those guys to put him in position. I think he needs to be a floor spacing wing who, like, here, I was going to ask you this later. In terms of adding to his game this offseason, would you rather him be like, I'm going to lock in to become a defensive threat? Or would you rather him work on adding offensive versatility when it comes to counters, creation? Because I almost think that team, that team's going to get good in a hurry. And yeah, you're going to have to fight for minutes. And we all know Udoka is going to want to play guys that bring it on defense. So I almost think there's a priority there of like, hey, if you really zone in on trying to improve as a defender, that'll keep you on the court. But if Whitmore starts to add a little bit more to his bag and create his own shot and doesn't just have to take threes, I think then you're cooking with something. So it's an interesting little one. And people could be like, why not both? And it's like, that's a great question. Why not both? Because I do think there's a really good path for him to become a problem.
Yeah.
And I think he took strides this year with the outside shot becoming a more consistent weapon. And now it's just, can you slowly start adding pieces to the puzzle?
I would probably lean towards the defensive end of the floor, yeah, especially with that coach. He's, you know, a tough defensive first guy. So if you're looking for minutes, and, you know, Dirty Dancer in the comments mentioning Tari Eason was out for most of the year, if you're looking, yep, for minutes, you're going to have to defend. And, you know, Whitmore's defensive playmaking was pretty solid this year. 0.9 block rate, 61st percentile, 1.3 steal rate, 64th percentile. And, you know, that speaks to his athleticism and how he can leverage that. But the off-ball consistency, the fundamental stuff, it wasn't always there. He was, you know, one-on-one kind of isolation where he can use that athleticism and physicality. He was solid, but just the overall defensive consistency just needs work, like it does for basically every rookie ever. But I was really encouraged with his defense. But if he can take that up to another level and really be a big time defender that they can slot in with VanVleet and Brooks and Jabari and Tari and Amen, now you're looking at a team full of really athletic, really versatile defenders, and you add in his threat shooting off the catch. His catch and shoot numbers were awesome this year. So I don't think he needs to be an on-ball creator, an on-ball scorer, because they have those guys in Jalen Green and Amen and Şengün and VanVleet, where the ball's going to run through those guys for the bulk of their possessions. But can Whitmore be that consistent play finisher? Can he be that outlet when the defense collapses on them, when a double gets sent and the ball skips to him in the corner? Can he be that reliable play finisher and knock down threes consistently? And he did this year. Yeah. And I think he's going forward. And then, so yeah, when you think about him as that kind of defensive playmaker and then improving those fundamentals, that consistency with his really impressive rebounding numbers, with his really impressive off the ball shooting, that's like, oh my goodness, you got this guy at 20? Like, right. What are we doing? It's there's a really, really fun and really quick path for him to be very fun.
And I'll be interested. I mean, I don't have intel about it right now, but I would be interested if that was the plan for Houston early on. Like, Cam, you're young. This is what we want from you the rookie year. And we'll keep adding. We'll keep adding a little bit to your game and keep, and if he can be that outlet, because that's like everyone wants you to unlock more stuff and take this humongous leap your second year in the league. Because if you have that expectations, that upside, we get it. Like, fans get excited. But I don't think that team needs this. I think that team needs him to be that outlet because they have all that playmaking. They have scoring. They have, you know, Şengün, Amen. Like, you just need to be, like Metcalf said, an outlet. You need to be a catch and shoot guy. You need to be able to play good defense. And we also got to remember, they have all of these pieces on this roster. They're going to have a top 10 pick. Like, they're also going to be adding another guy to the mix. So it's, you got to see the long road ahead for Whitmore. And I think if Houston gets him to buy in and you're smart and you're patient, then we could look up in a couple of years and be like, "Ooh, he is becoming something," because we're seeing the offense now. Like, the offense is going to be there. He's going to be able to lean on that. The shot gets a little bit better next year. If he buys in defensively, he's going to be on the court because he's a big dude. He's a big boy. Like, so I'm excited for his development. I think he landed in a great spot with Houston that has a plan, and they're going to be patient with unlocking the tools.
Yeah. And I think with him specifically, I think that long-term view is how quickly can he take over those Dylan Brooks minutes? Because, you know, Brooks is an incredible defender, which is going to give him the starting spot, but the shooting, we all know the shooting comes and goes. And if you can kind of replace Whitmore or replace Brooks with Whitmore, things become really interesting. When we look at some of Whitmore's advanced numbers and lineup data wasn't outstanding this year, but through injuries, they had to run a lot of kind of funky lineups out there. So Whitmore's most frequent five-man lineup consisted of him, Holiday, Amen, Jeff Green, and Jabari. Funky lineup, no real, just inconsistency and holes everywhere. A minus 12.3 net rating with an effective field goal rate of 44.7. Not great. His second most frequent lineup was basically him in place of Brooks with the starters. So 61 possessions of Van Vliet, Whitmore, Jalen Green, Jabari, and Şengün, plus 21.3 net rating, 52.5 effective field goal rate, and 100 defensive rating. Smaller sample size, I know only 61 possessions, but that's encouraging because that's the role, that's the outlook of what I'm assuming of what the Rockets are thinking with him and inserting him into that lineup as the two or three.
Completely agree. I just, they got one and they got two. They got a man and they got him. And it's just one of those things where now we're like, okay, you guys showed something your rookie year. What's next? And this is what I tell people all the time, like summer league, everyone gets excited about the rookies. I want to see the second year guys. I want to see what you've been working on. I want to see if you're ready to take that next step. And Whitmore is going to be at the top of my list of like, I want to see how things are moving along. And I do think there is a great path in which Metcalf just hinted, like there's your Dylan Brooks heir to take over his role and take over his minutes. I mean, what a fun one that would be if you have that athleticism, because it's always a good point too. Like, you can be a freak of nature athlete. Eventually that's going to catch up. Eventually you're going to, you know, the plane's going to get grounded. So you got to be able to add other parts of your game to extend your career. And Whitmore's just a bad dude. I loved him at Villanova. I still think very, very highly of his upside. So I'm excited to see what he looks like in year two.
Totally agree. His case with his draft stock and landing spot and all that was a little funky, but is there anything with Whitmore's rookie year that we, and, you know, draft process that we can apply to this year that we can learn from and potentially not make that kind of same type of error this year?
I mean, I don't think it was an error for us. I'm not trying to pat us on the back, but we had him in our top five.
Yeah.
We loved them. But then we also found out why he was slipping. And we were like, oh, this is the one this year. Cause it happens every year. And I was just like, this is going to suck. And it happened and he ended up in a great spot. But
so let me kind of reframe that then. And instead of, because we liked him, we thought he was going
to
be good.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to say like we know everything. I'm just saying we liked him. A lot of people liked him.
Instead, is there anyone who would be kind of your top candidates who might bewilderingly experience something similar where everyone in the draft space kind of seems to like them, but come draft night, they start to tumble a little bit?
I'm smiling like the Joker because I've been waiting a week for this question. Ron Holland. And I don't need people. Everyone's going to flip a desk and you're going to get pissed. I'm just saying. There's a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. He's a fan favorite. When you talk to draft fans, everyone loves Ron Holland. Similar playing styles. The inconsistent shot from outside, a very dangerous human being in transition, can live above the rim, can dunk on you with anger, plays hard. Some defensive inconsistencies, some defensive flashes that impress you. They're both extremely young when they're in the draft class. People have wanted to say, hey, the Ignite and the college, you can't compare them. And I'm like, well, I just did. So I think you can compare them because they're two different situations, but the player, same role, same strengths, same really long road ahead. Like I think whoever, I still believe in Holland. I got him in my top 10. So everyone put your pitchforks down. I still believe, but I do believe if Holland goes a little later, just like Whitmore, it could be for the best for both parties because he might land in a better situation. And there's still some teams in the top 10 that I think could be very interesting Holland fits. So what about you?
I think that's a really good one because when you look at kind of some of the concerns with the lack of passing and the decision-making and just kind of all around play style there, it's kind of creepy how similar they are. You know, Whitmore was a little more, I think, explosive and stronger and bulkier and has a much thicker frame than Holland, but that same kind of recklessness and high energy and uber athleticism in their play style is really similar. And everything we've heard is there are very polarizing views on Holland across the league. So
we've heard those polarizing, and I've confirmed with other people that they don't believe. So right. That's how crazy it's gotten. Is some are like, no, I'm still in. And some are like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, figure it out. Can we have a meeting and kind of talk this out? Because I think talk it out. I think you hinted it, like they're both very similar. I think Cam has more power, raw power, and I think Holland's got more like breakaway speed. Like he could get going quick.
He might be the fastest player.
He might be the fastest. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I am still buying because I think someone could say this is the long term view. Maybe Utah. Maybe someone like that. That's just like we're being patient, but. You know, I put up a blind thing on social media of comparing their stats. And I said, this is player A, player B. And everyone was like, oh, it's player B. I'd take him. And it was Ron Holland. And then I showed who it was. And a lot of people were like, oh, I would have taken Whitmore. It's like, well, see, that's what we got to compare. And I get it because Holland has the tools. If you see it and you're buying, I get it. I understand why people are such a high fan and why people are so high on him. But I do think it could be an interesting path to kind of compare them because maybe they could be similar stories on draft night, but maybe also Holland, you know, all it takes is one team.